my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1, 2, 3 cents of a podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
The guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Hey everyone, Kevin Huntsberger here with episode 285 of my 1, 2, 3 cents, the podcast, and it is another episode, edition, if you will, of Two is Greater Than One, and it happens to be falling on Star Wars Day, which is a big deal to the guest co-host, Tyler Heath Hatton of Stride Pro Wrestling, and we're going to talk about Star Wars in just a few minutes, but Tyler, one, it's great to have you back on the show. It's been a while. You know, Stride Pro Wrestling did the old school event, taped it over the course of several days, and it dropped in April. It was very widely received, and people loved it. But talk to me a little bit about kind of the future, because obviously with indie wrestling, and I know a lot of companies that aren't on TV or don't have regular deals are struggling right now with what they're going to do, what their future looks like. Can you kind of update our listeners and fans of Stride of what the future kind of holds right now?
So right now, you know, basically we got some good news this week. I was real worried. I actually, you know, me and you had talked I was really worried as far as, you know, you had messaged me and said, you know, you didn't think it's possible we wouldn't have shows until, you know, maybe through the end of the year, which that's still, you know, a possibility. So I was really worried. So, you know, people had messaged like, hang tight, you know, stay strong. But the only way you make money in wrestling is to have wrestling shows.
Right.
You know, that's the only way is to have fans. And, you know, I mean, WWE, you know, they had to lay people off and they have TV deals. You know, they have $1 billion TV deals. So, you know, having, you know, shows is really how you make money. And so I was really worried, and especially living in the state that we're in. But anyway, the building we have, we rent, and luckily we have amazing, amazing landlords. And I wasn't going to ask for a deal because it's, you know, so many people are struggling and businesses are struggling, and I didn't want to ask for a handout. And I had so many people message me and offer to pay our rent and pay. And I just didn't want to make people do that. And I'm, you know, a lot of how we make money is off of school shows. We're very blessed that we have bot shows, and that's what keeps us going. And the thought of having a school show now seems impossible.
Yeah.
And so anyway, with that being said, our landlords have allowed us to stay at the building, and they want to work with us and they want to do whatever they can to keep us. And so that was so encouraging. So as of right now, I mean, we get to stay. I'm really hoping that we are allowed to, and you know, start maybe doing tapings again. I'm just waiting on the governor. You know, if we lived in Missouri or Indiana, we could actually do tapings this month. Mm-hmm. However, we just live in that other side of the river, and we're not able to. But hopefully, you know, we start getting some restrictions, you know, lifted. And I've just kind of been eyeing what fitness centers in Illinois are able to do. And, we would take precautions, and we did such a good job of sanitizing. I know you sanitized and you cleaned and you saw it, and only having a limited staff. So we could get it done. I just don't think it's fair for us to go do that when other businesses are struggling and not able to. So,
yeah. Well, and that's awesome news. I'm glad to hear that.
And, you know, like you said, our landlords are pretty awesome people. So once all this is over, you know, and keep up with the Stride Pro Wrestling Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube channel, especially because we are able to kind of find some old content that maybe hasn't been published or put out there. And you know, just to kind of get your wrestling fix and know that we are, you know, behind the scenes, there is a plan in motion and things are going to be happening. So I'm glad to hear that and encouraged by that. This week's show, it's just going to kind of be a hodgepodge of different topics and kind of getting your take, because if you are a first-time listener, and I want to talk about this right off the bat too, just over the past couple of days, we hit the 8-year anniversary of the Extreme Rules pay-per-view, where you and Ace Hawkins, who is another alum of Stride Pro Wrestling, you guys teamed up and wrestled Ryback on a WWE pay-per-view, which still, 8 years later, I can't wrap my brain around that and how cool that moment was. And we've talked about it before. I want to know, though, you've done a lot in this business. You've wrestled overseas, internationally. You've wrestled for the NWA Heavyweight Championship. You have wrestled, as we just mentioned, on WWE pay-per-view. You just not too very long ago, earlier this year, you were a doctor for the Becky Lynch segment and the R-Truth segment on Raw. Where does the WWE pay-per-view experience for you rank on your list of wrestling moments? And, you know, obviously you've done a lot with Stride and kind of having that become a reality and something that people are willing to help out and pay the rent for. So obviously lots of proud accomplishments in wrestling.
I mean, so to be honest, the pay-per-view is definitely top five. It wasn't so much, I got, you know, I'm on a pay-per-view, as it was like, holy crap, I'm on a pay-per-view, if that makes sense.
Uh-huh, sure.
It was more like I've told this story on your podcast, and like, we couldn't afford pay-per-views.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we couldn't afford to watch them when I was a kid. And I used to go to my buddy Marcus Lamb's house, and I'm building a weight room, and he came and helped me with the electric this week. So we're still friends, but I used to go to Marcus's house to have to watch, and I would pitch in $10 when they had a pay-per-view. And I mean, I like to be on one, you know, and it was just, to me, it was like, you know, I've told this before, and you know, Rachel, you know, she calls me the white Michael Jordan, and because I have all these inspirational things that I tell to the kids all the time. But, you know, I mean, just my whole life, my freshman year, I was the only freshman that didn't make the JV basketball team, the only one. And I went on and I started in baseball, and I, you know, I got to run in cross country. I did a lot of awesome things as a freshman, but I didn't make the JV basketball team. I played more on varsity as a sophomore than I played on the freshman team as a freshman. And but the moral of the story was the coach told me that I should focus on baseball and running and not basketball. And I didn't like that answer. And so when I started wrestling and I was doing wrestling, I actually had a boss, a person that I looked up to, tell me I was wasting my time. I was never going to be a John Cena or a Triple H. I needed to focus on my family and that I was never going to make it to WWE. So like stuff like that motivates me. So to me, that's what was so cool about the moment. I mean, a 7-minute squash match isn't as exciting, you know, but to be there and basically to prove all those people wrong that told me that I couldn't. So that was top five. But I mean, my top moment, honestly, like it's weird to me. You know, like I said that like on my post the other day, like Red Daniels pop, like, that is a top five moment for me, and it didn't even happen to me. And it was a storyline that I had wrote that, you know, and it just, to me, it was to hear that. And then, you know, like we always talk about that buzz we had in the air that night. Like that was a, you know, that's a top five moment for me. the resurrection show with Curly, like all the crowd, and then, you know, just the teaming with you and Spade, and that was big. My favorite moment, though, was one wrestling in Ireland. That was so much fun. But it was actually winning the title from Ken Casa for SICW. And that was that's been my favorite moment. And that was because walking through and having Larry, you know, Madison hug me, you know, and, you know, the things that Larry taught me and, the things Larry said to me. And then, you know, I can still remember wrestling. I wrestled Chris Hargis, and we had an amazing match, and we did a double disc, a double count out. And the crowd was so loud and hot, and I walked to the back, and they're like, "Hey, Larry wants to talk to you," and they take me in a room, and I'll never forget it. And Larry and Herb was sitting there, and Larry said, "I want to make you our champion," and it just meant the world to me. Mm-hmm. So, and then to do it, and then we had an amazing match, and I won it, and that was a highlight. So I actually put that over the WWE pay-per-view in my for me.
Well, and I want to ask you something else, because you mentioned, you know, Red Daniels and the pop and writing those storylines. And I know during this time of quarantine, you've always been, you know, since I've been watching you on TikTok, you know, you've been kind of creative with those things. And now you're doing things with your family and writing more and doing those kinds of things. I mean, realistically, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but I mean, if you were ever to go to WWE, for example, I think you've said this before, it would be more on the creative side of things than it would be for another in-ring run, right?
Yeah, I mean, so to be honest, when I went to school originally, before I quit back in the day, I wanted to be a journalist. Mm. So when I was in high school, I used to write the sports for the local newspaper. I would cover all North City sports because we didn't have anybody to cover it. And there's a guy, his name's Toby Brown, and he's who I went to, I went and watched the new Star Wars with. I posted a picture with him. He was the sports editor for a local page. And Toby made me look like a million bucks in the paper. But anyway, he helped me, and that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a writer. And so I always had this creative idea, and I always felt like I could see things. And so, yeah, if I went to WWE, I'm too old, and I just don't think I'm good enough. I've said that 1,000 times to be a WWE superstar. But I do think I could help with the creative side of it. I could really add to it.
Well, and let's transition to WWE. And I wanted to talk about this because, if I remember correctly, somewhere along the way, you've told me Triple H is, I don't know if he's your favorite, but he's in your top five. Is that right?
Yes, he probably is my favorite. Yeah.
Okay. That's what I thought he was, but yeah. I wasn't 100% sure. So obviously in the past couple of weeks and at the end of April, Triple H celebrated 25 years with the WWE, and they kind of did some big celebrations on Raw and SmackDown, and they, you know, Twitter and social media, everything was kind of buzzed with it. And I actually saw some negative feedback to it, which I wasn't surprised because, you know, haters are going to hate. I'm pretty indifferent about Triple H. I probably like him more now than I did when he was actively in the ring. I had no problem at all with the celebration, and I ran a poll on the My 123 Cents Facebook page, and, you know, it was, at one point it was close, but, you know, the yes, he deserves it, won out. And I thought he deserved it. You know, there's obviously a lot of guys who've been in the business for as long or longer, but for 25 years of that same company, and, you know, obviously the evolution of his character through the years, which I think you obviously have to do when you're in a position like that for that long. But, you know, they've done it for the Undertaker. Undertaker's coming up on 30 years, you know, this fall. So I would imagine they're going to do something else for him. But, you know, and especially in these times when they don't have the live crowds and you know, the audience, you know. So two parts to this question. One, I think you were on the camp of this was a deserved thing for Triple H.
100%. So, my reason for being such a Triple H mark, and, you know, we all have that person. why we're obsessed with him or why we like him. And this is probably, I don't know if I've ever even said this before, you know, except like wrestling trainees, but why I like Triple H so much is like when you watch him wrestle, you don't know if he's going to win or lose when you watch his matches. And so with that being said, there was, when I was little, like I said, we were poor and I had VHS tapes. Mm-hmm. I only had like four of them. And one of them was a Stone Cold Steve Austin one. And he said on it, like, the reason why I like working Triple H is it doesn't matter if you're first or last, he's going to do whatever he can to steal the show. And he's going to be complete. He wants to do stuff completely different than what everybody else is doing. And he wants to steal the show. And after that, I started really watching him and how, you know, Stone Cold was so popular and The Rock was so popular and Undertaker. But when he was out there, he found a way to give entertaining TV. He always found a way to keep you from, you know, sometimes you would change the channel and go to WCW, but when it was Stone Cold, you never changed the channel. And I found myself, when it was Triple H, I didn't, because I knew it was going to be entertaining. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of made me fall in love. But like, it's the same reason that I love John Cena so much. So there's a saying, you know, I think Ric Flair always says it, the reason that I'm a 16-time champ or whatever is because I lost so much. You right. don't become a champion by losing so much. And John Cena is the same way. Like, John Cena understood, and I feel like that's why, you know, you've made the comment, we won't put myself over, but how we get like a pop or a reaction when I kick out and the way we do it. And it's because I've lost so much, but I'm not afraid to lose, because I understand if you lose a couple times and then you win, then the next time you wrestle, they don't know if you're going to win or lose. I honestly feel like that was Triple H. Mm-hmm. He would put people over that you wouldn't think he would put over. And like I said, I don't know his backstage politics. Maybe I'm way off base, but as a fan watching,
right,
when I would watch Triple H or John Cena, like, you were like, there's no way they're going to win this match, or there's no way they're going to lose it, and they lose it. And, like, you know, me and Jay Spade was talking recently, there was a match between John Cena and CM Punk on Raw that I think is one of the top five best of all time. And it's the match where Cena had to beat CM Punk to wrestle The Rock. And I think it's one of the top five best matches of all time. And why I think that is, you know, you knew CM Punk wanted to be in the main event of WrestleMania. He had said that so many times. When I was watching that match, and they had already done the once-in-a-lifetime build mm-hmm. for the year before, I thought they were going to do a triple threat and give CM Punk the rub back.
Yeah.
And so you didn't know how they were going to finish the match, how they were going to do it. And that was like, and that's how I feel when I would watch Triple H against these guys. Like, you didn't know. And so the falsies, like, I mean, when he tapped out to Chris Benoit, I didn't see that coming.
Right.
I honestly, you know, I just, and so it's like, I always feel like those guys, they get it. That's what made Ric Flair so great. You watch him and you didn't know if he was going to win or lose. And I felt the same way with Triple H, and I felt like he was always putting guys over and then he'd beat them. And that's honestly my reason for being like, why I was always watching him, was because his matches were the most intriguing to me. Like, you always kind of felt like Stone Cold was going to beat The Rock because of the build and it being a, you know, at this show, or you mm-hmm. always kind of felt like you could always kind of feel, but with Triple H, I felt like I could never tell. I could never get a grip. And I've always felt that way with John Cena. I've always, like, you know, it's like, okay, this time he's going to beat CM Punk and then he doesn't, or, you know, this time he's going to beat Randy Orton and then he doesn't.
Yeah.
But then I think back, and when Cena really got put on the map is when he was feuding with Triple H and Randy Orton, and they are all, you know, I think the same mentality.
Do you think, you know, because obviously in our, you know, both of us, even though I'm much older than you, our lifetimes as fans, it's always been Vince McMahon running the show. And obviously, one day that will cease happening, and the heirs apparent are Triple H and Stephanie McMahon. How do you think Triple H would do creatively, you know, as the CEO or as the man behind everything going on with WWE? I know he has a lot of influence on what's happening with NXT, and it's obviously very widely regarded. Do you think on a, you know, does he have that tenacity and that ability that Vince McMahon has had for all these decades to keep this product viable and moving on and the brand going for another 50 years?
I mean, that's the thing. Like, I don't, as far as backstage stuff, I don't have a clue, you know, if that makes sense. I don't know. You don't know. You know, you read stories and you read stuff.
Sure.
And you hear, like, you did, I just don't know, you know, I don't. I mean, I would like to think, yeah, but I mean, then again, you know, you don't know, you know, what really goes on or what's said or as somebody is, you know, I think in wrestling, you have to be so good at, you know, communication. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of where WWE struggled recently by listening to people that have left is the communication, you know, by the time it gets up ahead. So, I mean, I would like to think Triple H being one of the boys, he would be able to relay stuff and have that communication. I don't think a writer for WWE, they don't have that one of the boys mentality. Mm-hmm. I'd like to think Triple H would have that ability. And but again, I don't know, and you just don't. You know, I don't know how it goes on backstage, and I don't want to be like, yeah, he's, you know, this, because I'd just be lying. So, you know, and you don't know. But I would like to think, being one of the boys, doing this executive role, being married to Stephanie, I think he would be good. But then, you know, you just don't. You just hear stories, but you don't know.
Let me pick your brain on AEW as well, because a lot of the guys that have left there, whether it's Cody Rhodes or Jon Moxley or Chris Jericho, have always been very critical of, you know, some of them are complimentary but critical of WWE, in that everything is scripted now and it's more entertainment than it is sport. And, you know, obviously AEW has more of the, you know, indie scene kind of ramped up, where, you know, you've got the high spots and this, that, and the other. So they allegedly are more lax and don't give the scripted promos. They let the men and women kind of have their freedom and do what they want to do. But we haven't seen like a ginormous jump. And obviously now with COVID-19 and we don't have crowds, and I do think that's a turnoff for some fans. But do you think that there's something kind of a balance in the middle there, or do you think that AEW will ultimately kind of rise up with this more lax, kind of laid back attitude and environment? Or has Vince McMahon and WWE been so successful for so long because they are kind of regimented and have, you know, they know what they want and they have it all kind of mapped out? Where are you on those two kinds of philosophies?
The only thing that holds, I think, AEW back, and this is just my opinion as a fan, is the storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they lack the storytelling. That's the only thing that I think turns people off. As far as, like, I've always been a huge, huge Cody Rhodes fan. I, like, really liked them when they were doing the Legacy thing.
Yeah.
And I was always a Ted DiBiase Jr. fan. So, I'm a huge fan of them. And actually, the wrestling is honestly, it's top-notch. However, it's like, I wish that their feuds went a little longer. Like, the Chris Jericho and Cody Rhodes feud, I actually got invested in it, where Cody Rhodes said, if I lose, I'll never go for the title again. It got me interested.
Mm-hmm.
And then Cody Rhodes lost, and that was it.
Yeah, it seemed like it just died off.
And I did not, like, it was, and I know Cody Rhodes, you know, is the owner or one, you know, one of the executive producers or whatever. And so he probably doesn't want that. However, like, I feel like he's a huge draw right now because he's the anti-WWE guy. And I really think that they could have had made, you know, good money in that. Like, that would have been a good money feud. Mm-hmm. But when you watch it, and who knows the direction they were going to go, you know, till all this COVID-19 happened, you know, bringing in Matt Hardy and all that and the Brody guy and, you know, all the stuff that happened, it hurt them, you know, with no fans. But, you know, when I was watching it, it was like, I wish the stories, I'm a story guy. Mm-hmm. However, it's like sometimes WWE stories, in my opinion, aren't that good, and their feuds, you know, aren't that good. And, you know, so, or they kind of fall flat or whatever, but no, I mean, I think AEW, I mean, they have the talent, they have the roster. I mean, I, like I said, you got Chris Jericho, who is, you know, as big as they come. And I do, I think Cody Rhodes is, he has that Stone Cold John Cena potential. Because he's kind of the ones that led this, you know, revolution, you know, and I think he's the one the fans want to get behind because he's the one that started this. So I do wish they did more than him, because anytime I see people post stuff or I see stuff shared, it's Cody Rhodes' name. So what he does seems to turn to gold, in my opinion, and he can wrestle and he's a great wrestler. And I mean, you know, his dad was one of the best of all time as far. And so he learned from him. His brother's not too shabby. So, you know, when I watch it, I just wish that that more stuff was done with them. And their tag team division is probably better than WWE. And you know, they're going to get better now because the guys that are jumping ship.
Yeah.
I mean, just imagine you have the Young Bucks and then you're going to have, you know, Gallows and Anderson probably come. You're going to have the Revival. I mean, so there's going to be a good tag team division. So I just hope that they start, you know, being able to tell more, and fans are going to help. But like I've always said about even competition for Stride, more wrestling companies, the better, because it gives more people a place to work, more places for people to go. And so I hope they both, you know, especially all them layoffs, you know, I mean, I really hope they all have a place to go and a thing to do. And, you know, our buddy Brandon Toll, he's at TNA or Impact. So you want all these places to make it because all these guys, you know, this is their livelihood. This is their job. And, you know, if you follow me on Facebook, you know, I hate watching my friends suffer. And so, you know, I don't like that, and so I want them all to make it.
Absolutely. Two more talking points, and then we'll wrap this one up. When you mentioned Gallows and Anderson, it reminded me of WrestleMania and the Boneyard match, and, of course, the Firefly Funhouse match. I've seen some very critical, you know, people in the business, and I, you know, I always respect the opinions of those who are in the business, but, you know, obviously fans as well. Where do you come down on these more theatrical, obviously pre-produced matches, like a Firefly Funhouse or a Boneyard match? And, you know, I guess they did similar things back when, you know, Matt Hardy was doing the broken stuff in TNA and Impact. But where do you come down on this? Is it still part of the, you know, wrestling experience, or would you rather not see this kind of stuff?
Okay, so I'm kind of torn. The wrestling and the fighting aspect of the Boneyard match, I thought was amazing. I would have rather watched that than watch Undertaker and AJ Styles in an empty arena.
Right, I agree.
However, there were parts of it I found corny. You know, like when Triple H is walking up and it's showing his boots, and then it shows him walking, and I don't know why, I flashed to Patrick Swayze in Dirty Dancing when he's like coming down the aisle.
Yeah,
and the music's like, that's what all I could think. And so there were parts like that, but then, you know, where AJ's on the tractor and Undertaker pops up behind him, like, that was like, oh crap, that's cool.
Yeah.
But But anyway, no, I liked it. The Firefly match, I was more the other way. I thought it was funny. I was, obviously an NWO, WCW guy, so I loved that. And when Vince was like, this is great, like, it made me laugh. However, like, I didn't really know what was going on, and I kind of kept waiting for something to happen, and I didn't really. Like, there was no... I mean, I kind of would have liked to maybe see him fight a little more, but it was, it was funny. I mean, right. But to me, it didn't seem like that could have been played on SmackDown, in my opinion.
Right.
That would have been great but the Boneyard match I actually liked and I actually enjoyed, which it's no secret AJ Styles is in my top five of all time. So I like what he does. I think everything he does turned to gold, but I would have much, the circumstances, I would have rather had him do that and have a match. I really thought the Firefly match, they would have actually been fighting in this house and doing stuff.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought it was going to be like too.
And I kind of would have enjoyed that probably a little bit more, because when I was watching it, I kept waiting for something to happen and it never did. And then, having Bray Wyatt count the three against himself, I don't know, it just didn't feel like... I just hope that's not John Cena's last match, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But anyway, no, the Boneyard match, like I said, I liked it. I thought the action was great. The fighting was great. It was just, there were parts of it I was like, I felt like it could have been left out. Like, like I said, the corny parts. But then again, WWE does do corny stuff. It is for kids. It is entertaining. But... overall, no, I enjoyed it. I thought all the stuff they did, it was the best. And it's kind of made it where it's like, now I want to watch Money in the Bank.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it'll be, if they do it like that, it'll be entertaining.
Yeah.
And so, however, when wrestling comes back, I would much rather watch a wrestling match with fans than watch that.
Yeah. I agree. I totally agree with that. So, kind of a spoiler, I guess, if you have not seen Rise of the Skywalker, this is our last talking point. It is Star Wars Day. Tyler is a huge Star Wars fan. Last year, we actually did a whole episode on Star Wars and kind of tied it to wrestling. But they are dropping Last Skywalker on Disney Plus on today, on Monday, May 4th. Do you feel like... there is a possibility, I thought 30 plus years ago when Return of the Jedi, came out, you thought that was the end. And obviously we got three more films. Is this a franchise that's going to just keep going on with these new characters that we've seen pop up over the last three episodes of this series?
That's the thing that I guess, it kind of seems like all the standalone films and all the stuff they're doing is based around the set. They're not really creating anything new. However, I feel like The Mandalorian, they've created this story and this character that I feel is I enjoy watching it because it's something new and different. So I kind of hope they start going that way where they create, keep creating new stories. Cause I can't stand the people that, get on and bash and bad mouth. And, when it first came out, I Googled it and it was like, return or this, The Rise of Skywalker it was a flop and it made over $1 billion. And I'm like, how was that a flop? But I do. I enjoyed it. I like the movie. So I do hope that, that they do maybe do something in a new direction. Maybe, spin off some of these characters and new characters and new stories and kind of start creating, a new galaxy far, far away instead of trying to, just keep, the Obi-Wan series I'm very excited for. However, it's a new Obi-Wan series, what's so exciting about the Mandalorian is, Baby Yoda, but what is Baby Yoda? It leaves you because there's something new that you don't know. There's something new that you don't understand. And And so, like, that's what's exciting to me is I want to see him create new stories and new things. But with what's going on now, you just don't know, you know, funding and mm-hmm. money, and if they're going to put money in this place or this area, and you know, it's a scary time, and I just, you know, it's cutting into my wrestling. I hope it doesn't cut into my Star Wars.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, as always, a pleasure to have you on the show. And friends, I encourage you to go check out strideprowrestling.com. That'll keep you up to date with what is happening with us. And, you know, if you have photos from past events or things you'd like to share on our page, please do that as well. We would love to continue to spread some wrestling love and keep things going as well. So, thanks for tuning in this week. We will talk again next week, and have a great week and stay safe in the meantime.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.